Welcome in on this Thursday. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. Happy to have you guys involved with the show. 615-737-1045. You can jump in on the conversation. A little more flexibility on the phone lines today than there have been the last 3 days. Lucas has time to catch his breath. Of course, Lucas Panzeca, who makes everything happen, makes this show stay mostly on the tracks. If you want to talk to Lucas and then talk to me, 615-737-1045 is how you do so. Mike Sando of The Athletic is going to join us at 1220, and we're going to talk about an existential crisis in the AFC for the Tennessee Titans. The way that Greg and I kind of diagnosed this yesterday on the podcast, Greg Cosell of NFL Films. And an interesting clip from NFL Films that went viral yesterday, or at least locally viral, because I think there may have been some video editing that was done that did a true disservice to Todd Downing as far as one of the Tannehill interceptions is concerned. I'll tell you what's going on with that later on in the show as well. But in the meantime, I want to kind of look at their roster. We haven't, over the course, because we've been really reacting to that game still for 3 days, but now that we're far enough removed from it where we can start to look at the offseason, really, I want to kind of take a look at the free agents on this football team, unrestricted, because there's a handful of them, who made legitimate contributions to this team. Now, there are some restricted free agents as well. Actually, there's more interesting restricted free agents than there is unrestricted, but there's some interesting names, and it starts with Harold Landry, right? Harold Landry, who is coming off a career high in terms of sacks, who was as effective as anybody pressuring the quarterback really in the last 2 seasons, even though the sacks weren't there for him in 2020 the way that they were this year. Right now, Harold Landry is projected right around the top of the market, where you've got Bud Dupree, who was one of these players. Shaq Barrett and Bud Dupree were the two players, the two edge defenders last year that signed the big money contracts. You got Shaq Barrett on a 4-year, $17 million average annual value deal. So 4 years, $68 million. Bud Dupree's deal was longer and of a higher value, but a less average annual salary. So Bud with the Titans, 5 years, $82.5 million for a $16.5 million average annual value. They're doing this, Bud Dupree and Shaq Barrett, both 28 at the time that they signed their deals. Harold Landry is only 25. He'll be 26 by the time next season gets underway, but still, like, this dude is getting ready to cash in at a much, much younger age. He has been as productive as any of those dudes. TJ Watt as well, who signed a bank-breaking deal, right about the same age as Harold is going to be when he signs his contract extension. The valuations right now, these are projections, $17.1 million average annual salary for a total of 4 years, $68.4 million, if you were to sign him to a contract extension. Again, just a projection based on where the market was for these guys, but understand that last year included, what was it, about a $16 million haircut on the salary cap, right? And this year, you are expected to get $25 million back in salary cap as the financials start to recover from the pandemic season. So, while there will be inflation of the salary cap and you'll have a little more wiggle room and your contracts that you've already signed will start to look better than they previously did, what will also inflate as the salary cap goes up is the value for these guys who are coming into a contract year in a non-pandemic financial season or off-season. And that, kids, is Harold Landry. So when you look at this list of players, and Harold is the biggest name, right? But there's some core pieces on this team, or guys who have been core pieces on this team who are unrestricted free agents. Ben Jones, your starting center, who's getting up there in age, but is still a high-level player. Jayon Brown, Anthony Firkser, Rashawn Evans, Jeff Swaim, Morgan Cox, the long snapper, and Marcus Johnson, who was on a basically a prove-it deal here in Tennessee, and again, his body betrayed him as far as the injuries are concerned. You can go down the list. There are some key, depth pieces. Randy Bullock is an unrestricted free agent, so your kicker situation gets thrown into flux. Chester Rogers, along with Marcus Johnson, both those dudes were on one-year deals. David Quessenberry, starting right tackle. Dane Cruikshank, who is a key player in that defense and who they found ways to match up well with tight ends. And then you kind of look at the restricted guys, Derek Roberson, Cam Batson, Tier Tart, Logan Woodside, and Nick Westbrook-Akina, all for very, very low-value contracts right now, but will cost more now that they've had accrued seasons under their belt. So this roster construction is going to be particularly interesting. And you go through this every year, right? Like, this is not uncommon. It's just refresh the names, whereas last year there were some notable ones as well. The problem with this football team, as it was currently constructed, is this is as good as it's been and as deep as it's been in quite some time. It's rare that your inside linebacking depth is going to be so good that Rashawn Evans can be a healthy scratch in a playoff game. You know what I'm saying? And Rashawn has been on body of work, underwhelming, but still not a bad depth option to have. The wide receiver depth, even though the injuries mounted up throughout the course of the year, once you got there to the point where AJ and Julio were playing the majority of the snaps again, you felt pretty good about the guys behind them. Now, two of those guys are unrestricted free agents, and two of them are restricted free agents. Makes it a little easier for you to bring Westbrook-Akina and Cam Batson back if you so choose, but still, both of your tight ends. So all three of your tight ends, in fact. Mykole Pruitt is an unrestricted free agent as well. So you got to figure out that damn tight end position at some point. And the conversation that I want to have with you guys, I think, is going to be an interesting one, because there's going to be a need to bring probably both of these individuals back. But if I made you choose between Harold Landry and Ben Jones, I think that puts you into a pretty interesting conflict about what you feel this football team needs the most moving forward into 2022 for the price point. Because both of those players are going to cost you more than the average salary would be. 615-737-1045, that's the number. A couple of phone lines open. A bunch of people that we'll get to coming up next on this subject. Would you rather have Ben Jones or Harold Landry in 2022? I think that's going to throw some people into a bit of a flux. We'll talk about it coming up next. People fired up on a Thursday. Lines are loaded. Welcome back on 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you. Going to get into the existential crisis in the AFC that the Titans are potentially facing. Some wise words from Greg Cosell. We'll do that in the noon hour before Mike Sando of The Athletic joins us, and we'll get into the deeper nuances of that conversation. But in the meantime, we're talking roster construction. And I want to know from you, given that your free agent list, and it is substantial, 29 total players that are considered free agents, the vast majority of them unrestricted, a few restricted free agents, and there are a handful of exclusive restricted free agents, and I'll make that determination for you between restricted and exclusive restricted momentarily. But in the meantime, as it relates to guys who are just out from under their contracts, the dudes who have the option to go wherever they want right now, Ben Jones, Jayon Brown, Anthony Firkser, Rashawn Evans, Jeff Swaim, Harold Landry, get into guys like Marcus Johnson, Ola Adeniyi, who was a good special teams player for you, literally all three of your tight ends with Mykole Pruitt as well, David Quessenberry at right tackle, Dane Cruikshank in your secondary. There's more players there, but we don't want to list all of them. And the question that I've asked you is, there's probably two who are the most important, all right, on offense and on defense. And if you want to throw special teams in there, Randy Bullock is an unrestricted free agent as well. But let's say Randy's your guy because kickers are affordable. Even though, and I will say this about Brett Kern, there is contract stuff there with Brett that I would be curious to see how they handle that moving forward, because I think Brett would probably tell you in an honest moment that his season wasn't up to his standards, but Brett was still great throughout the course of the season, worth bringing back without question to me. But if you're talking about the most important offensive player on this list and the most important defensive player of guys who you want to bring back, Ben Jones on offense and Harold Landry on defense. That's, I think, where you start. Now, when Mike Vrabel is asked about the guys who are going to be unrestricted free agents at his end-of-season press conference on locker room cleanout day, Mike didn't get specific because he's never going to do that, but he was pretty adamant is probably the word that I should use about how he feels about a lot of dudes whose contracts are up on his team this past year.
I think that we've got some guys that I love coming to work, and I would be disappointed if they weren't with us next year. And I love what they're about. I love how they prepare, how they compete. And I think that what these guys believe in is they believe in the team. And they believe in playing a certain brand of football about effort and playing physical and playing together.
Now, again, he's not saying specific names there, but we understand that Mike Vrabel looks at a lot of these players whose contracts are up, and I would imagine two of these guys specifically, and says, yeah, we need to do what we need to do to bring these guys back. The same way that Kevin Byard was saying, yeah, he'd restructure his contract to make room for Harold Landry, who's going to be a big money deal. But if I made you pick between Ben Jones or Harold Landry, which would you choose? I think it's an interesting question, courtesy of our friends at A to Z Sports, Austin Stanley, and I think it was Jack Gentry when this conversation was had. Either way, when I'm looking at this, I feel like most people's knee-jerk reaction would be to say Harold. Edge rush and pass rush has been a plague for this franchise, not just in the last couple of years, but pretty consistently. Really, since like Curse and Haynesworth, we had Keith Bullock in here with us yesterday. They've struggled to find guys who can legitimately, season over season, get after the quarterback outside of Jarrell Casey from the interior, right? Premier edge rushing talent. Arakpo and Morgan were fine, but they don't quite fit this same classification. Now, you can survive with fine edge rushers in guys like Morgan and Arakpo, and they did for so many years that way. But are you willing to pay the premium to keep this group together? Autry, Landry, Simmons, and Dupree, because they have the ability to do something special. And then there's Ben Jones, because nobody is watching the center on a snap-by-snap basis unless it's your job to do so. And it's my job to do so, and even I don't understand all the intricacies of offensive line play in a way that I really wish that I did. But if you ask coaches, and if you ask these coaches about how they feel about Ben Jones, I mean, you could very easily make the argument that Ben Jones is the second most important football player on this team. Important. Not best, second most important from the way that coaches and the Titans coaches talk about their starting center. Now, he's 32 years old, as opposed to Harold, who is currently 25 and will be 26 by next season. The shelf life on Ben is different. You understand that. But to look at these two guys next to each other and say, what do you value more and where your football team is right now? I think you have to make a determination on Harold. Is that a luxury that you really, really need to shell out for? Because I think that might change some people's perspectives. 615-737-1045. You can jump in on the conversation. Steve in Mount Juliet has been waiting patiently. Hello, Steve.
Hello. How you doing? Landry, I would choose because of Ben Jones's age.
Okay.
No, you don't get rid of Tannehill. There's nowhere to go. He's expensive. Everybody else is expensive. You try to pick up a backup in free agency, or if there's one in a couple years on a draft. Tannehill wasn't bad. The head coach made a mistake by going for two. How do you not give that defense a 1-point lead? They will kick the butt with a 1-point lead. Ball game 17-16, Titans. That's how it would have ended. He would have only had two interceptions. The the second interception. Does Tannehill not have the authority to audible? I can't believe he actually called that pass play after that 57-yard run. He should have just pounded it in for a touchdown. I'll listen to you on the radio.
Thanks very much, Steve. Okay, so a couple of things. I don't disagree with Mike. We haven't talked about the two-point conversion play going back to Saturday's game, but I agreed with the decision to go with it. The metrics were aligned with going for it. I think that if you get the penalty that they did, that gives you the opportunity with a 250-pound running back to try and jam it in there, yeah, you do that because that's how they've won football games. Now, whether Derek was fully capable of being at the peak of his powers, different conversation. But the decision to go for two, I think that's one of the and I'm not saying this, Steve, to dismiss your point. I'm just saying I think that's one of the easiest ones to armchair quarterback. And then on the second interception, I don't know whether Ryan Tannehill has the ability to change the play in real time. We certainly see him talking a lot at the line of scrimmage because there's a lot that needs to be said, a lot that needs to be communicated. But Tannehill did address that first interception and said that, yeah, our rules on that play is to throw the bubble screen to Chester based on what the defense was showing them. And so Tannehill executed the play as he knows it to be by the rules that he was coached on, and that was the result. 615-737-1045. Bryce is in Hermitage up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Bryce.
Hey, Buck. How's it going?
Going well, thank you.
Hey, so I called in the 3HL a few days ago and made a point, and I got some heat for it, understandably. I was a little long-winded in that, but I wanted to call back and just kind of get to the point of what I was saying, and I wanted to ask you first, would you, I just got in with a workout, I'm a little out of breath, rather have Eli or Ryan Tannehill?
Eli who?
Manning.
Well, I don't care about Eli Manning, respectfully. Bryce is not playing.
No. I'm saying, here's my point, and I think that, and you've said it before, that, you know, I think it's possible to win a Super Bowl with Tannehill, and I agree, but, you know, it's going to have to be in under certain circumstances. And I was just looking at Eli. You know, he's won two Super Bowls, correct? And he had six playoff appearances. In his first game, he threw zero. First playoff game, he threw, or postseason. I'm sorry, I don't know if it was just the game, but he threw zero touchdowns and three picks in that first postseason. And then the only time he had, I believe, the only time he had more touchdowns and interceptions was the two seasons they won the Super Bowl, of course. So, that's just my thought process there. And I think that they're relatively close in terms of how good of a quarterback they are. And I just think that if you can win with Eli, surely you can win with Ryan. So that's my point. So yeah, thanks for taking my call.
He got it in under the gun. He heard the music. Do you think people hear the music? I feel like a lot of times people don't hear the music.
Yeah, they should.
Okay.
He got off the stage, though.
He did. He heard the music. He got out quick. He was out of breath. He was struggling. I don't know if that's... I mean...
Just got a workout in.
I guess what's the right answer to that question? You know what I'm saying? Like, and again, I don't want to be... I'm not trying to be dismissive. I don't know what basis that has in what we're talking about. Like... And maybe that's like a summer topic, right? Would you rather have the career of Eli Manning or the career of Ryan Tannehill? And of course you would say the career of Eli Manning over and over again because Eli Manning's won two Super Bowls. But like, it's completely irrelevant to football at this point. All right, let's see if we can redeem ourselves with Alex in Nashville. Alex, I believe in you. I hope that you won't tell me, though, that Drew Brees is going to be the next offensive coordinator of the Titans or that Eli Manning will be the next quarterback.
No, I'm not going to say that. How are you doing, Buck?
I'm well, thank you.
I wanted to know, what does it mean when reporters and analysts say Ryan Tannehill is not comfortable in the offense? Like, I'd like for you to explain that, since they're practicing, you know, Monday through Friday. What does that actually mean when they say he's not comfortable? He doesn't look comfortable.
All right, who said that, Alex? Can you be specific? Because I haven't heard that analysis.
Gotcha. To be honest, I can't remember. I listened to your show and Blaine and Mickey. It was on Blaine and Mickey's show. They were saying, you know, he doesn't look comfortable in the offense. And I just wanted to know what that means so I can get a better understanding, you know.
I appreciate the call, Alex. I don't have any context for the conversation. Was I mean, Lucas, you're on Blaine and Mickey after this. Was that Blaine's analysis that he doesn't look comfortable?
I would think so. I don't want to speak for Blaine. Blaine certainly has had his criticisms of Todd Downing's play calling. We played a piece of it from Titans Talkback on Monday when we were talking about the Bengals game. But I think I have heard that. I think that kind of falls in line with Downing not putting Tannehill in the best position to succeed.
Yeah, well, I mean, from that standpoint, though, like Ryan Tannehill, the execution. How did we get back into Tannehill? How did this happen? Wait, did I say Ben Jones and Harold Landry? What happened here?
In my defense, I put Tannehill's name on the screener next to Alex's name.
Oh, in your defense, so you're saying that I'm not reading the calls properly?
You said it. Your words.
All right, it's a fair allegation. Michael in Charlotte is in North Carolina. That says Landy Jones. It doesn't say Landry Jones. It says Landy Jones. That's Lucas's fault. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how's it going? All right, I'll talk about Ben Jones and Harold Landry.
Great.
I won't bring up Tannehill.
Okay.
So for me, you know, I like Ben Jones, his longevity, his body of work, what he's done over a big period of time, and I think you need that continuity on your offensive line. Harold Landry, you know, they drafted Rashawn Weaver for a reason. So what, I think it comes down to them. What do they think they have in Rashawn Weaver? And then for Landry, I hate to say this, but did he have this big year knowing it was a contract year and knowing it was going to be a payday for him? That would be my big concern. But, yeah, I'm rolling with Ben Jones if I'm going to choose between the two.
See, I appreciate the call, Michael. Look at you. You're so quick with the hook back there when you fade them down, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to give them some room to breathe. I mean,
he's just going to say, I'll hang up and listen.
That's okay, but you're like, quit. Like, people are thinking that you just dropped him through the trap door that we use on Tuesdays. He's just falling into this. He's sinking into the sports talk radio callers. By the way, people are losing their minds on social media about our callers today. Shout out to off-season questions. Ben Jones is, here's what I... Harold Landry and Rashawn Weaver aren't the same player, right? That's why my problem with that, that's the only problem that I would have with the analysis. Because I'll be honest with you, from my standpoint, I would lean Ben Jones. Because here's why. I look at what they are on offense. I understand how they're built. And also, as we'll talk about later in the show, I think that they need to consider evaluating, as they will. I'm not telling them anything they don't know. But I think that there needs to be a legitimate organizational reset as to how they play their games, okay? And I'll explain more about that at noon. But when I look at Ben Jones and how they're currently constructed, one, he helps that entire offensive line. Two, he does not miss games. Taylor Lewan and Roger Saffold, the biggest indictments of them this season was that they missed games. Fine when they're out there, availability. And again, it's going to depend on player to player and from injury to injury. They're not parallel circumstances, but Ben Jones doesn't miss football games. Ben Jones has done nothing but make that offensive line better since they improved the talent on either side of him from Josh Klein and Quentin Spain, who is out here trash talking Jeffrey Simmons after giving up 9 sacks in a playoff game that his quarterback still managed to win. Like, they have definitely upgraded the position, even if Nate Davis was a bit underwhelming this year. And then there's the quarterback. If this is going to be your quarterback, you need to do as many things as humanly possible to keep him comfortable. Because to go back to the caller's question earlier about Ryan Tannehill, you know how to make a quarterback miserable? You give him a new center that he's not fully comfortable working with. Especially a young guy, because offensive line, especially from that position, it can be so complicated. And I will tell you again, when you talk to coaches about this stuff, there are very few of them that won't tell you that the center is not the second most important position on a football team.
Was it in Seattle that Ben Jones checks out and it takes one play for a shotgun snap to rocket over Tannehill's head?
No, that was New York.
Okay.
That was a game they lost, and that was a turnover. No, did they recover that fumble?
I think Tannehill fell on it, but you know, you lose 10 yards.
Still.
It was one play without Ben Jones.
And they settled for a field goal. And we've seen that happen before, right? Ben doesn't miss games in that way. And when things do, you see what can happen. You want to help that quarterback go nuclear mode more often? You take your center away from him. I really think, and again, it's not it's not end-all, be-all. Like, I don't know that they have to make this decision between Harold and Ben. I think if they want to, if they don't have a reasonable option behind Ben Jones, and I don't know where Corey Levin is at this point in his career. He's bounced around a lot, and he wasn't good enough to beat anybody out the first time he was here in Nashville. But Corey Levin is an interesting look at that, because what we've seen from Brewer is that he's better at guard, and they've tried different players behind that. Jameel Douglas was not good enough. Aaron Stinney didn't last here, even though he ended up on the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The center position is complex. Complex. I'm not saying that pass rushers, you want as many pass rushers as humanly possible. But I think as to what it is that they do and how many other guys they have that can do what Harold can do right now, it's a luxury that you have not been used to having. There's only one player who can do Ben Jones's job at the level that Ben does it, where you don't have to worry about the center. Now, you said, Lucas, Corey Levin is on the roster.
He is on the Titans roster, yeah.
I don't see him in this list of unrestricted free agents. Is he on a multi-year deal?
They claimed him off waivers in September of this past season.
What's his contract situation?
That I would have to check closer.
All right, look that up for me if you would, and I'll go back to the phone. 615-737-1045. There is Alex in Dixon who's up next. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. Hope you guys are doing well. Honestly, I think the best course of action right now would be to trade our first-round pick, because if I'm right, we have two fourth-round picks this year. So I would trade the first-round pick for a second and a fourth and try to go and I think a weak quarterback class this year in the draft is actually to our benefit. Where we could get a guy in the second and then bolster our offensive line maybe a wide receiver of some sort in the later rounds with all those picks. So I think that might be the best course of action. Let a rookie quarterback kind of come in and learn the system for a year while we stick with Tannehill this year so that maybe next year that rookie quarterback can compete for the starting job with either a new quarterback or with Tannehill again or some combination of the sort. So thanks, guys. Tighten up.
Thanks for the call, Alex. Unrelated. What's the contract situation for Corey Levin? Because that was another Tannehill call.
He'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2023.
Okay, so they've got him under contract. That's interesting.
Yeah, $1 million cap hit in 22.
Okay. Now that's, again, do they trust him that way? I don't know what the answer to that is. Again, Ben Jones doesn't miss that many snaps, so you haven't had to see this play out in real time. Now, Corey Levin, I think it was in 2019 or maybe 2018 when Ben missed some time in that Jets game and they shuffled things around and Corey Levin got some play at center, if I recall correctly. I think they moved Ben Jones out to guard for a couple of snaps to try and keep that thing afloat. Again, Ben is the rare center that can do that. You know what I'm saying? Like Ryan Jensen for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is another one of these guys. They don't come around that often, and they're much, much more difficult to basically coach up to the point. You have to move on eventually. At some point, this is going to happen. But if the issue right now is quarterback comfort level and quarterback stability, the worst possible thing to do is to take the starting center away from the quarterback who you've got concerns about. Evan is in Nashville up next on the zone. What's up, Evan?
Happy Thursday, Buck. Hope you're doing well, man.
Well, it's not thirsty enough just yet, but we'll see how many more Tannehill calls I get.
Don't worry, this isn't a Tannehill call. I'm glad you expounded on the importance of the quarterback-center relationship, because that was my big anchor point and why I think it should be Ben Jones. So I'll just kind of round off the conversation by saying, you know, obviously the Titans are in bad cap position right now. If you look at where they could save money by possibly releasing guys, there are two big names in Roger Saffold and Taylor Lewan. Not saying that's going to happen, but if one of those guys do go, that's going to add to the dismay of Ryan Tannehill and throw that offensive line in even more flux. But there's also always the chance, and this is, you know, kind of taking a step outside of the box, the Titans could sign Landry to a long-term deal and really minimize that cap hit on the front end. So there's always that possibility as well.
Oh, and it's a great point. Like, my larger conversation about this, I just think it's an interesting question, right? Because you can do a deal where you keep both these guys. Ben Jones, what was his cap hit this year? His average annual, well, he was making, I don't know what his cap hit was specifically this season. I can pull that up in front of me right now, but he was making about $6.7 million. His cap hit was $7.25. If you want to do an extension with Ben Jones at 33, you can do that and make it financially feasible. You can structure it in a way that if you have to get out from under it quickly, you can do that. Harold Landry, you can also backload the cap hit for Harold in the way that you've seen them do deals in the last couple of years. Derrick Henry's first season, his cap hit was just over $6 million. Ryan Tannehill was way, way lower than it was, or that it will be, certainly, in 2023. Bud Dupree was only on the books for about, or at least only on the cap hit, for about $6 million this year. You can make the money work. It's just, where are you willing to sacrifice a little bit, or where do you lose less in trying to make these decisions? Because they're difficult decisions to make. We'll get back into this conversation, more of your phone calls as well. Don't forget, we're going to talk about the existential crisis of the football team in this conference, given the rest of the competitors at the top of the AFC. And we'll do that with Mike Sando in the noon hour. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back on this Thirsty Thursday. You know, I still can't get over that Eli Manning thing. I don't know why that has me so shook up. I guess it's the idea, if you missed it earlier, we had a caller call in and say, would you rather have Eli Manning or Ryan Tannehill? And it completely threw me out of a loop.
I think he just worded it poorly. I think that his point was, if you can win Super Bowls with Eli Manning, then you can win Super Bowls with Ryan Tannehill. I think that was kind of the point he was trying to drive.
Okay, so fair, completely fair. Back to the phone calls, by the way, because why not? You know, there's certain to be something there. 615-737-1045. I guess my issue with that is, he tried to articulate that earlier, is what he said. He tried to call into 3HL and pose them the exact same question. He said he got some heat for it. Now, those people on 3HL, Dawn will give you hell, but Dawn's been absent for a couple of days now.
She was back yesterday.
She was back yesterday?
Yes.
Great. Love to see that. Love to hear it. Brent and Slay are not people who are necessarily going to give you heat for things. Now, Slay will bring great energy. And Brent is exceedingly, I mean, Brent's one of the nicest people that I know. Like, I don't know, Mickey Ryan and Brent Doherty often compete for that spot. But he tried that once on 3HL and it didn't work the first time. Now, he had the opportunity because we hadn't heard it. He tried to get it through to us a second time and was unable to do so, because now I'm hung up on why the hell is somebody calling me asking me, how long has Eli Manning been retired?
That's what I'm looking up right now. I was just curious. 2019, he retired. But it's still a different era of football, right? Like, the Eli Manning Super Bowls, that version of the NFL is not what it takes to succeed in the NFL in 2022, right?
I mean, listen, Garoppolo is 9-2 when he doesn't throw a touchdown pass. Like, don't tell me it's impossible.
Yeah, but I don't think Garoppolo... Do you think Garoppolo is ever going to win a Super Bowl as the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers?
If he keeps playing in them, he might. Like, that's what I'm saying. He has a chance because he's in the game. Now, he's not in the game this year yet, but he was one throw away from winning that damn Super Bowl. We talk about Patrick Mahomes in a completely different light if Garoppolo makes one damn throw. Now, maybe the difference between Garoppolo, there's a big difference between Garoppolo and Mahomes, and I don't think one throw is the outright difference, but maybe that's the difference. Like, there's just no margin for error at that position if you're playing in the final game, because any little mistake can just nuke you. Absolutely nuke you.
Also has one of the league's most innovative offensive minds as his head coach.
Sure.
That helps. That's part of the conversation.
Eli Manning. I don't know why that caught me up the way that it did. Let's see if Luke in Nashville can salvage us. What's up, Luke?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
We're well, thank you.
Outstanding. I promise you I will not mention our quarterback's name. Also, kudos to you for the music. That Bryce guy, all I could hear was that scene in Billy Madison where the principal's talking about nowhere in your incoherent rambling did you make any damn sense. Sorry for that. Anyways. So
I award you no points and may God have mercy on your soul.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I take Leonard because, and we're going to sign both of them, but it's two different contracts. But like you're saying, a luxury of having a pass rusher is a luxury we need because it helps Jeffrey Simmons, and Jeffrey Simmons helps Leonard. They both had great seasons this year. They feed off each other as far as the defensive line goes. Ben Jones, you know, like you're saying, that would really send our quarterback in a downward spiral if we didn't have him. But if that kid from Iowa, and I don't know his name, forgive me, if he was to fall to us in the draft, that's a good center, a young center we could pick up with our first-round pick that would be there for years to come.
And you're picking 26th overall. I think that's a very grounded in reality scenario, Luke. I appreciate the call. 615-737-1045. Again, I'm not telling you that you have to have one or the other, because what I'm trying to do is present you with a realistic situation. But for the future, stability and sustainability, and then improvement upon that sustainability, because it's damn difficult to do. Here's what I fear about the Titans in 2022, all right? Defensive regression is the biggest, it's almost as dependable as anything that we have in football, right? Year over year, it's difficult because the personnel changes, you have staff changes that can impact things, even in minuscule ways that have larger ripple effects. But defense is difficult to reproduce at the same level, to carry over year over year. My concern with the Titans' defense is that just the idea, just the mindset of keeping things exactly as they were, it should produce the exact same result. I would take issue with that line of thinking because it so rarely happens that way. Now, can you put yourself in the best possible position to succeed by bringing back talented players who you know can help your football team? Of course you can. And is Harold Landry playing harder in a contract year than he would be if he got the bag? I don't know. Like, that's up to Harold, right? That can't be a part of the analysis. Even though, yeah, Corey Davis did it, Harold Landry has done it. Like, the production is noticeably different from year over year when your money's on the line. I get that. It's the same for anybody. When my contract year comes up, not that I'm saying I'm mailing it in year one, but you could be damn sure I'm going to do my best to be as good as humanly possible in the final year of my deal, because you know who, everybody wants the bag, right? Everybody wants, that's how we all go about our lives. We'll have more time to talk about this, but when we come back, I want to have a broader conversation about where football is in the AFC right now and how the Titans' formula for success in the last couple of seasons, it needs to be reevaluated this year. You'll hear from Greg Cosell on it. We'll have a larger conversation about it. Your phone calls are always welcome. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.